Our next guest is the Senate Minority Leader, Len Fasano. We love how we make it. It's Thursday already. We have him on like every other Thursday. I can't believe we're already, it's already Thursday. That's a good thing, though. We're getting closer to the weekend. Len, good morning to you.
Gary, good morning. Excuse me. Good morning to you.
How's everything going with you?
You know, it's the battle, right? It started opening day yesterday, and already we're in the midst of battles.
Uh-oh. I mean, usually, you know, as I recall opening days, they were basically fluff. It was pomp and circumstance. Very rarely would there ever be a committee. That would usually start either on Thursday for the Tuesday, Thursday committees, or Friday for those that met on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It was mostly about tickets and your family being with you and having a nice lunch, and then, you know, that's basically it. But what was their contention yesterday, or what?
Well, you know, they put out these agendas, which are jam-packed as if this is a full session. This is only 13 weeks. This is supposed to be only bills that affect the budget, positively or negatively, to do budget adjustments. And that's what it's supposed to be for. But the agenda that's out there are policies that don't necessarily reflect the budget. They're ones that you typically see, a jam-packed agenda for a full session, usually January through June.
Well, give me an example of something like that. What's on the agenda this year?
Well, they want to do, you know, hot issues, the vaccination issue. Big issue. And then you got the marijuana issue. And then you got the clean slate issue. And then you have whether or not we can force people to rent apartments to those who have criminal records under certain circumstances. They want to do different health care bills.
Wow.
So when you start looking, the college tuition stuff, when you add all this stuff up in 13 weeks, that's a lot to do. Because these are new issues. Yep. There's a lot of different ways of looking at this. The public hearing time period is short. The discussion time period is short. So I don't know if they're just doing this to feed their base by saying I brought it out.
Yep.
Vote for me this election.
That's exactly,
try to push it through. Sorry?
Len, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm thinking these are political moves because it's an election year and they want to show their constituents that they're still trying to introduce bills that, even though I think they do this knowing it's not going to go anywhere this year, they're doing it for political purposes on a re-election year, and that a lot of these bills, at least for the time being, will be dead.
Yeah, you know, I think so, but I guess my frustration is, so good bills, or bills that really do address budget issues, won't get the time and consideration because they have to play politics, with the agenda. That's the problem.
Yeah. What was your interpretation of Ned Lamont's State of the State yesterday?
Well, you know, I have to categorize it as a high-level broken promise and broken promises. For example, when he raised the taxes, $1.8 billion, he and the Democrats, there was a promise that in the second year, he would give property tax relief.
Right, yep.
He would put the property tax credit back to the way it was. Well, I didn't see that. He promised he was going to tackle the quasis, which are those part statute, part private companies, like the Port Authority, the Lottery Commission, MDC, and get control over them, because they're out of control. And he said in November, December, we're going to do this bipartisan. It is a keystone of my second year. We didn't see that. He said we're going to have a debt diet. I'm not going above $1.4 billion. Now he's at $1.7 billion at least.
Oh.
And he had to use that $300 million to buy votes for his tolls. So I look at this and I say, he said we had to bite the bullet the first year, but he's going to give relief the second. I didn't see that. You know, iLottery is going to pay for free tuition. Well, maybe iLottery could have paid for social services or municipal aid to bring down property taxes. So those are the things that I see as far as broken promises. There was a tax put in many years ago for hotel tax and a car rental tax. And we put that in so the money would go to regional centers so they could pump money into the tourism dollars so we could draw tourism to the state, which is a big industry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's sweeping that account to make up for the shortfall in the second year.
Wow.
So he's, once again, a broken promise. We are going to put a tax on these things so that we can pay for these things, but oops, I got a hole in my budget. I'm going to sweep it. So, once again, it's a bunch of broken promises yet again by the Democrats who tell you one thing and do another, and then they're shocked why we don't believe their toll plan.
I was able to hear some of that speech yesterday, not the entire thing, not the entire state of the state, but some of it. And, we've heard about the free community college in the past, but what I wasn't aware of and what I heard for the very first time yesterday was that you could go to UConn for free if you made under $50,000 a year or less. Is that true?
Yeah, so the UConn president made that announcement in the spring.
Oh, I didn't even hear it back then.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was right at the end of session or right after session. And I was critical of it. And the reason why I was critical of it is because we had to give UConn $300 million to get through the year. So who's paying the teacher's salary?
That was my next question. Yeah, who's paying for this? Yeah.
And I will tell you right now, the UConn professors, when we asked them, hey, well, how about the budget? And rather than teaching, I forget the number, it was either two courses or three courses, pick up an extra course. They rejected that loudly. And so I know they're not going to be teaching a course for free because they wouldn't even pick up a course when we asked them to. So what? It is not free. Someone's going to pay for it.
Well, of course.
It's going to be taxpayers.
That's right.
Or the UConn students.
Before we switch gears and talk about this transportation bill, which I know is it's like beating a dead horse here, what is the clean slate bill?
So the clean slate bill is still being worked on. Oh, sorry.
No, I thought maybe you were going through a tunnel or something. You just were starting to talk about what the clean slate bill is, and then we lost you.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So what it is that there's some crimes for which, if once the probation or punishment is over, mm-hmm. and you do not commit another crime, mm-hmm. After 7 years, your slate is wiped clean. That is, there is no record of your offense.
What kind of crime are we talking about?
Well, they haven't really talked about it. It's sort of, as I understand, it's misdemeanors.
Okay.
But there'll be exceptions to that. It has not been spelled out. It's a theoretical proposition. I think what the governor wants to do is different than what the Democratic majority wants to do. Governor, I think, wants 7 years. The folks in the Capitol want 5 years, from what I understand. But the actual details have not been spelled out at all. But that's the general idea. And it, at some level, it probably makes some sense. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how far they want to go on it. If you're 19 and... you get into a bar fight, you get arrested for disturbing the peace or something maybe a little higher than that. That's a misdemeanor. Perhaps that shouldn't stay on your record forever, I suppose.
Okay.
There's some level. Now, how far you want to go is what the subject of the debate will be. But I really haven't seen any. There's no language out. It's
right.
More theory.
All right, that sounds like that needs to be ironed out. I mean, like you said yourself, there's only so much time, 13 weeks, as you said, for this short legislative session. You're taking up all these controversial bills. Which ones do you think will pass? Do you think there'll be a recreational marijuana bill that will pass this session, this short session?
Well, it's interesting because once again, you're going to get into battles. There's ones in the Capitol who are saying, listen, if you're going to do the marijuana, you have to allow people to grow marijuana up to so many plants.
Who's enforcing that, though? Who's going to everybody's backyards or properties and policing this?
Exactly. And the way the bill was written before was like, if you could do five plants, we'll say, and I want to grow five plants, and you say, Len, I'm not growing any plants, you can assign your five plants to me. So you can end up with hundreds. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Well, if you have five people in your household, too, and five people, or five times five, you got 25 plants because you have five people in your house.
Right. So, and then you had the people who said, no, it should go to inner city folks should be able to do this because they were harmed by the penalties of marijuana. In fact, the people who had criminal records for possession should have a better shot at getting it. Then you have the medical marijuana saying, well, wait a minute. You know, we just invested all this money in the infrastructure a couple of years back, and now you're cutting us off. We can't take that hit. We should be selling marijuana, and we don't want private people creating plants. So there's a whole, you know, there's a certain group that wants it, but each want it for their own self-interest. And the question is, can they all get pulled together? I don't know the answer. You know, Senator Looney suggests that they have the votes. I don't know what's happening in the House, but there's a long way to go on that. So we'll see how that goes. I think there'll be a lot of infighting, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to sort it out in time for the end of session.
I'm getting that, Wes. A stoned society. Imagine going to work that way. In my opinion, I don't think that's going to make it this year neither. It looks like they may need the full session next year. Sports gambling.
But let's also be clear. Our defense industry, which is a keystone to the state of Connecticut, doesn't want it. Because what they're afraid of, if you make it legal, the federal government obviously still treats it as illegal. And it's
system.
And they have mandatory testing. They said, look, there are going to be people working for the defense industry who are going to be legally smoking marijuana, showing up for work. We do a drug test, and they're going to get summarily fired because we have to. That's part of our contracts with the federal government. And you're going to be laying off and firing good people who have a good job because you're enticing them on the legal side, but it's still illegal for the defense contract.
That's right.
Industry. They're dead set against it because they think it's really going to hurt their workers.
Oh. All right. So really quick, we have like 2 minutes left. All right. So sports betting and online gambling. I understand a lot of people actually don't mind the concept of that bill, but just don't like some of the language with the pact giving the tribes a little too much power there.
Well, I would say that the only person that can make the gambling situation work is the governor, and he has not even begun the conversations with the tribe. And what you heard yesterday is very telling. He said, look, I want to do this, but I don't have a lawsuit. I guess it's okay to do the tolls and have a lawsuit on the truckers, but it's not okay to do the gambling and have a lawsuit.
Right.
So he, by him saying that, he's basically saying, I'm not signing any bill that's going to walk us into a lawsuit.
Yep.
And right now, he's the only person who could negotiate the way out of the lawsuit is he and the AG, and they haven't started yet.
Okay.
So I don't see gaming getting... I know they want to force the governor's hand, but I'm not sure that works.
All right, last question, really quickly. We're hearing that there will be a you'll be called in to vote on his transportation bill next week, either the 12th or the 13th. Can you set those rumors straight? Is this fact? Is this fiction? What do you hear?
Tentatively, there was a date for the 13th. That is not going to happen. So there is no vote next week.
There we go.
They are suggesting it will be the following week. Monday's a holiday, so it would be the week of the 18th, because the 17th is a holiday.
Yeah, President's
Day. That's the new target date.
Will this be an e-cert, or are you just going in and vote for this straight up?
E-cert.
It is an e-cert. Is it really an emergency? I mean, is this abusing the purpose of an e-cert?
We have 13 weeks to session. What's the urgency that they can't do it within the 13 weeks?
Exactly.
What's the difference if they do it on the 18th or they wait 10 more weeks?
An abuse?
The answer is nothing. They want to quickly ram it down everybody's throat.
E-cert, by the way, folks, is an emergency certification bill. It's an abuse of you. For exactly that point, you got 13 weeks. The session has just begun. Hey, Len, thank you so much. You are so forthright. We really appreciate your candor, and we look forward to always having you on. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.